real treat in store for lovers of classical music this Friday, and indeed for the following two Fridays. RTE National Symphony Orchestra Live is a series of three concerts under the baton of principal conductor Jaime Martín, which will be streamed worldwide in HD from the National Concert Hall and broadcast live on RTE Lyric FM. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined live in studio by the principal conductor of the RTE National Symphony Orchestra, Jaime Martín, because I really thought, Jaime, we'll be talking down the line. Now, we had a picture taken outside where we had to have our masks on and we were distant from each other. But this is a crazy time, particularly in the world of the arts, even more particularly in the world of orchestral playing, where people have to be sitting beside each other and close to each other. How difficult a time has it been for you the last few months?
Well, it has been incredibly hard for everybody, including you probably. But I think it has been particularly hard for musicians once life was starting to pick up in June, July. Things started to move on. People could start going to restaurants. People start going out or taking trains, taking airplanes, and then music, theater, anything to do with stage, we realized that actually this is going to be very, very, very hard. So we all had to work very hard to find ways of how to put many people together on the stage in a safe way. I think safety is the most important thing.
Yeah, of course.
I think that we can try to do it, but if we have problems, then this will be the end. But I think the RTE National Symphony Orchestra, they've done a fantastic job in trying to be creative and trying to look into the future and trying to see that we have to move on in a way that they have put. Finally, now we are being able to work with the orchestra on the stage.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go into the concert hall, it's incredible. I mean, we have to take the temperature and usually, the orchestra goes on the stage all together, but now they say, okay, first violins, please go on the stage.
Yeah.
This is for a rehearsal.
Now,
second violins, please go on the stage. Now, the winds, so there are screens to protect people from the wind players. So I think everybody feels very safe, but this was a very important step to put people together on the stage.
And did it affect, the fact that, because you have a smaller orchestra now than you would normally have, did that affect how you went about these concerts, or they weren't programmed in advance because you didn't know there was going to be this type of concert. Did the repertoire that you chose for the three concerts, was it affected by the size of orchestra you could have?
Of course, because now we are with a smaller orchestra.
Yeah.
We are now probably half the orchestra. But, of course, the repertoire, we cannot use pieces with lots of percussion, for instance, or lots of brass players. But, for instance, this week we are doing Beethoven Symphony No. 7, which is exactly we are playing as it was written. We are doing it with a bit fewer strings than we would normally use. But in a way, this is good because it's the way it was written before.
Closer to what Beethoven.
So we are doing this week Beethoven Symphony No. 7 and Ravel Tombeau de Couperin, both incredibly different pieces of music. We have the power and the sadness of Beethoven 7 and then the subtle and mellow melodies of Ravel. So
let's start with, I suppose, the power and the sadness of Beethoven 7, because I know this is a piece that goes right back to your childhood, in fact, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think goes back to most childhoods of anybody that loves music. And which movement are you going to play
now? I'm going
now?
To play the second movement.
The second movement. Yeah. Well, the second movement, because when this piece was premiered with Beethoven conducting in 1813, this was for a benefit concert for the, dead soldiers.
Yeah, and
the Battle of Hanau. And then this movement is an allegretto, which is a bit like a little dance, but it's a dance written in a march funèbre.
Yeah, it's like a funeral march.
It's like
it really
a funeral march. And it was so popular that in the premiere, this movement had to be performed again.
And it was for these who were considered heroes at the time. And
absolutely.
And when you think of the people who are on a different type of front line now, there's a kind of a suitability in that as well. And a sadness, but yet a little sense of hope, I think it's safe to say, within this second movement of Beethoven Symphony No. 7. You'll recognise it when you hear it. That's the opening section there of the second movement of Beethoven's Symphony No. 7, and that's a recording featuring the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. But it's the RT National Symphony Orchestra who will be playing it on Friday night in the National Concert Hall, all of it being live streamed on RT Culture, rt.ie/culture, the website, and broadcast live on RT Lyric FM. Jaime Martín, principal conductor of the RT NSO, with me in studio this evening. We were listening to it there. There's such... Yes, there's a sadness because we're in the minor key, but somehow in there, there is a little bit of hope. And later into that movement, it does slip into a major key and there's a brightness that appears. So the hope is ever present, Jaime.
It is the kind of... The thing is that this, you know, is you have this funeral march, as you say, but at the same time with the rhythm, rum, pam, pam, pam. It's like a slow dance, almost. You know, yeah. That's why it is marked allegretto. Yeah. I mean, a funeral march marked allegretto. You know, usually you would imagine, oh, it would be
grave,
adagio, lamentabile, or I don't know, whatever you want to say, or lento, funebre, but
or largo. You'd expect it to be very slow.
It's an allegretto, so it is a kind of celebration.
Yeah, it's kind of light and light and a little bit fast. Would that be a fair translation
absolutely.
For
but,
allegretto?
But you know, is this in a way that's what I wanted with this concert? You know, to find a music that could celebrate a re-encounter. That's how I see it. I mean, for me to be back in Dublin and to meet this morning for the first time my colleagues of the orchestra, I think it is amazing. I mean, it is a very emotional thing because it is almost like saying, look, here we are, and we are going to look for the future together, you know? I mean, let's see. We don't know. We might have to stop maybe next month. We don't know what's going to happen for all of us.
Yeah.
But being...
I'm interested, though, in that emotional idea, because I'm sure this has happened in lots of workplaces, not just with orchestras, but where people who haven't seen each other for, you know, months on end, who see each other very regularly in their workplace, that moment when a group of you get back together... There is quite a strong tug on the heart when that happens.
Of course, it is strong. I mean, you know, even talking about that, I feel a bit emotional about it. But I mean, usually to re-encounter people is always wonderful, and of course, it could be emotional or happy or joyful. But at this time, it is because we don't know. You know, we are playing together. I am working now today with the orchestra. And who knows what is going to happen next week or in 2 weeks' time. So it gives you this time that we never better say that let's play like if today was
the last time.
Was the last time because, but I am not saying that because any of us is going to be terribly sick. It's just because rules might change.
Yes.
And then we might not be able to do this for some time. But what I am very happy is the management of the orchestra have done an amazing job in providing a very secure environment for everybody. And this is the only way,
as you said,
we can encourage the audience. I mean, if we succeed in doing this, then slowly when things get better, then we will be allowed maybe to have 100 people in the audience. And in few months, maybe we have 500.
We'll have to wait and see how that all pans out. The piece that the Beethoven 7 will be, the body of the concert, really. But you're introducing the concert with Ravel's Le Tombeau de Couperin. A very modern look back to a much older composer. Ravel, very interesting what he does here.
Well, the thing is that Tombeau de Couperin, what he did is, Tombeau means in memoriam. So basically, this is each of the movements of this piece was dedicated thinking of one of Ravel's friends that died in the First World War. So, in theory, it's a very sad piece. Mm. But actually, it's not because he did that in a form of a Baroque suite. So, on a suite which is a dance, it's a minuet, a rigodon.
Which is why Couperin is mentioned in here
exactly.
as a French composer
exactly
of the Baroque era.
The reason I wanted to put this this piece together with Beethoven is that for me it still has the sort of the theme of a dance, but treated in such a different way. With Ravel is the power, sometimes is the you are in awe of this kind of music, like this Beethoven Symphony Number 7 is like a cathedral, and then suddenly in Tombeau de Couperin is the most beautiful sounds. It's like soothing. sounds.
The other thing we've got to remember is Couperin would have written these pieces, or would have been writing for harpsichord at the time. Ravel writing for piano, but this is an orchestration of that piano verse. So let's have a listen to it, because it's the colours that you get here that are quite extraordinary. It's just so beautiful, Le Tombeau de Couperin there, the Ravel composition played by the Frankfurt Radio Symphony Orchestra there, conducted by Jaime Martín, who is sitting in front of me and will be conducting the same piece with the RTE National Symphony Orchestra on Friday night. And you recognise that all of a sudden. I could see your ears pricking up going, who's playing there?
Well, the thing is that I know that Assumpta from the orchestra also asked me, do you have any recordings? And I said, well, there is this thing on YouTube, but... I was not sure if you used
that. Yeah, we found it, yeah.
that's very good. I did recognize a little bit of that, but I love this piece so much. Because it's, you know, as you said, this is an orchestration of a piano piece, and this is what Ravel can do.
He's a master orchestrator.
It's like, look at Bolero. The same tune goes for 15 minutes, and what Ravel does to it is each time is done with a different instrument, and... For me, Ravel is the closest to a painter. I mean, just it's like put dashes of color on a canvas and then combines instruments in a way that is so inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no doubt that he, I think you've referred to him, you refer to this piece almost, he's like a painter in this, really, isn't he?
He's like a painting. And at the same time, then it requires amazing individual efforts from musicians in the orchestra. For instance, this movement is one of the most famous oboe solos in the literature. So every audition for any orchestra in the world, you have to play this piece. So yes. It's one of those pieces for oboe players. It's a very important piece. But there are so many solos by instruments. And I thought, since we are talking about celebration and re-encountering each other, I wanted to show how all this orchestra, basically, there are so fantastic soloists, people in the orchestra that have their own voice. And I think it's fantastic that this piece allows them to be heard.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And people can hear it Friday night. So you have this, you have the one on Friday, you have two more coming up after that, interesting programs there as well. Stravinsky, Mozart and Prokofiev on the 16th. And then the following week, Falla. Oh, you're going very Spanish.
We do a Spanish program. We are going to do...
And Manuel de Falla again. And Chappie, the prelude from the Lavra Valtosa. So lots of Spanish flavour from then on. Jaime, great to see you.
Very nice to see you too.
And hope that the music is bringing you lots of solace. Must do so, because it will do on Friday night. I know I listened to last Friday's concert on Sunday evening. I got to listen to it online. Just I went to the website, and it's such a lovely thing to do.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing the same thing this week. Won't be able to be with you at 7. I'll be somewhere else, like here. So let us finish up with a little section from certainly the Beethoven 7, Symphony number 7, and the one that really lifts the heart, the third movement. Presto, nothing slow about this one. A little flavour of the third movement there, the Presto movement from Beethoven's Symphony No. 7, one of the pieces that you can hear this Friday with Jaime Martín and the RTE National Symphony Orchestra live, the Beethoven No. 7 alongside Ravel's Le Tombeau de Couperin, and that will take place at the National Concert Hall at 7 p.m. You can watch the concert live on RTE Culture, rte.ie/culture. You can listen live on RTE Lyric FM, or you can do what I did, you can go back and listen to it on Sunday on the RTE player, but you can find out full details of everything that's happening there on rte.ie/ NSO.